The Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Dennis Brodsky shoved him off a cliff. The angels did not bear him up that day, but they were certainly with him, because Dad managed to walk away from their visit to the shore in Connecticut without any broken bones or serious injuries. Just some seriously scraped up elbows and knees that were caked with sand and rock from a nearly 15-foot fall. Dad can still vividly detail how that nurse who cleaned out and bandaged up his scrapes and cuts seemed to have zero sympathy for him as she picked out the grains of sand and stone piece by piece by piece. Dad and Dennis remained friends after that. Even now, Dad believes that Dennis didn't actually think he'd go over the edge. They were just two boys who were goofing around, and it was a total accident. They never really talked about it much after it happened, but it did cause a lot of pain. And yet they stayed friends. As life unfolded, they lost touch, like friends do. And Dennis went on to lead this fascinating life. But he died at a young age from falling over a different kind of cliff altogether, a cliff named alcoholism. As people of faith, we believe that God desires healing for us. And while some wounds are easy to see and to clean out and to bandage, some wounds are not seen and are much, much deeper. And God cares to heal those wounds too. In the Hebrew scriptures, prayers asking God to heal people abound. In the Gospels, Jesus heals paralytics and lepers, calms chaotic seas, chases out demons, makes the blind to see, forgives sinners, and even raises the dead to life. Countless passages detail the way the apostles were about the work of healing, laying hands on the sick and curing them of their diseases. In James chapter 5, verse 14, we even have a predecessor for the practice of anointing that we will offer in just a little while. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray for them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. God is concerned with healing. Yet this priority for God is also held in tension with the reality that we live in a world where it seems that there is not healing. Cancer and addiction and neurological disorders and heart failure and chronic pain and head colds and insomnia and anxiety and depression exist. We live in a broken world where people experience car accidents and sexual assault betrayal and paper cuts, hunger and natural disasters, heartache and human disasters of all kinds. And they cause us to ask the deep soul question, why? If God desires healing for us, then why? It can feel as though, like Jesus, like we are being tested in the wilderness, which is where Lent begins, in the wilderness. And in short, the answer to that question is, we don't know why. And even if we could know the real reason behind why, it would not necessarily make the hunger pangs and pains of wilderness any less real for us. We just were witness to Amelia's baptism. But on the heels of Jesus' own baptism, he experienced a wilderness and temptation. I like to think of his parched tongue and his aching frame met with the very presence of evil while he could still smell the oil of anointing on his brow. And all of this happens before his ministry of healing or teaching even begins. This is where the gospel, the good news, starts. In the wilderness, during temptation, at a rock bottom low. Doesn't seem like very good news. And this is ironic because at the end of Jesus' ministry, on the other side of his teaching and his healing, he ends in the wilderness of the cross, returning to a place of suffering. Because of this, we find solidarity with Christ in our own wilderness experiences of suffering, who, when he went into that wilderness, did not go without God's presence. Jesus enters into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, and in your very own baptism, you were provided with that same assurance that when you are in the wilderness, you are full of the mighty power of the Holy Spirit too, for anything that you would face in life. That spirit that sustains you, that community that bears you up and feeds you, the gifts of God's comforting word and prayer attending to you, nourishing sacrament to accompany you. And as you can imagine, we will be a part of reminding Amelia that she is full of the Holy Spirit. And I am here to remind you that you are full of the Holy Spirit too. It's amazing what God does for us while we wait for the healing work of God's promised future. And while we wait, God has empowered the scientific community to work in some amazing ways. And those gifts are also an answer to prayer. I remember when I was a teenager, I was crying one night, struggling with anxiety and depression. And my mom came to my room and was comforting me. She said to me, "Jenny, I never thought I would see a person walk on the moon in my lifetime. But sure enough, that happened." And she said, "I know you don't believe this right now, but I believe that there can be a cure for depression in your lifetime, so I'm going to start praying for that." And she has ever since. And she'll remind me of that conversation, that she prays for that. Many are doing the work of healing. Doctors and nurses, many of them are you, caregivers of older parents or younger children, helpers doing the work of harvesting the experience of healing for others that, as we know, comes and goes, ebbs and flows in our life. My dad wasn't fully healed after he left that nurse's station. He had those scabs and scars for quite some time, and he can still show you exactly where those wounds were. The same thing is true with our spiritual ailments. Although we may expect them to heal like this overnight, we know that they take time. And yet, piece by piece by piece, day by day, sometimes hour by hour, healing comes through Christ Jesus. Just this last Wednesday, many of us gathered here to remember the reality of our healing through the imposition of ashes, with the reminder that we are nothing more than dust. And in Pastor Gary's very succinct words, we are all going to die. We are all going to die, but we also are all rising. We are dust that rises, and that's the heart of this liberating, soul-sustaining gospel that we have, these words of life, that while we are dying, we are yet alive, we are living, and we are being raised to new life. So today, in a little while, we'll offer the liturgy for healing through prayer at the foot of the cross for our loved ones, the ones that we love the most, for our enemies, the ones whom we find difficult to love, for healing in the world and in creation. And through the anointing of oil and the laying on of hands, we don't pray for a cure or a fix, but we pray for a process, a journey, a road to walk with Christ. And the name of that road is hope. And the name of that road is peace. And the name of that dusty road that we walk with Christ is healing. Filled with God's Spirit, we are beloved dust. And also, right before worship on Ash Wednesday, as Pastor Gary reminded me, God can do incredible things with dust. To that end, may you know the nearness of Christ and with him see the salvation of God. Let's stand and sing.